one to the other. Last week it was instructions to Timothy about doctrine and how doctrine edifies, how doctrine protects the church, and we'll see that word over and over again in these epistles, that word doctrine. And then tonight it switches over to practical for us as Christians, this important word charity. So let's look at it. Verse 5. It says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." So the end of the commandment, that's quite a statement, isn't it? The end of the commandment, that is our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And pray you'll teach us tonight, change us tonight, be honored, and guide us. And we commit this to you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This word charity, very important word for Christians. I think Brother Brinkman taught on this at family camp a few years ago for us. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the very well-known charity chapter. Let's turn there and see that according to God and His Word, if you don't have charity, you will accomplish absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. That's why He tells us here, that's the end of the commandment. Without charity, you're wasting your time. That's what it says here, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Oh, no, not verse 4. Verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Verse 2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Now, most Christians want to be able to speak for God. They want to understand mysteries. They want to have faith so they can move mountains. God says if you have all those things but have not charity, you're nothing. That you've accomplished nothing. Verse 3, we all want to be generous. He says if you give everything, if you give it all to the poor, but if you have not charity, you accomplished nothing. It profiteth nothing. Think about what God is saying there. That without charity, we're nothing. We're accomplishing nothing for the cause of Christ. We can do things. We can work and be busy. But without charity, it's a waste of time. That's what God's telling us. Now, there's a phrase in the New Testament. It doesn't show up many times. This above all things or above all these things. Most of us are familiar with the one in Ephesians 6, above all, taking the shield of faith, right? But the other two times that it appears, it has to do with charity. So let's look at them. Colossians 3:14 is the first one. So let's look at that. And let's just get a handle on how important charity is to God. Notice Colossians 3:14. "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Above all these things, he was talking there about a bunch of Christian virtues. And then he finishes by saying, above all these things, the number one thing is charity. 1 Peter 4:8, he says it again. Let's look there. So we see Paul saying it at Colossians and 1 Timothy, and we'll see Peter say it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "And above all things," there it is again, "have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." So he's instructing us that the end of the commandment, that if you had to sum it all up, the end of the commandment is charity. But then he gives us more. Let's go back to it, 1 Timothy 1:5. Not just charity, but charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. So let's talk about those for a couple minutes. Not just charity, but charity out of a pure heart. Well, we all know that our hearts aren't 100% pure. So what's God saying there? He's saying that we're keeping short accounts with God. Amen? David said to God in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The only way you and I as Christians can do that is through confession. When we confess to God, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not just having charity, but we've got to have charity of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22, let's look there. 2 Timothy 2:22. He says, "Flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Out of a pure heart. And then 1 Peter 1:22. Again, a connection between love and charity and a pure heart. 1 Peter 1:22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Unfeigned means not fake. "See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently." So it's not just the end of the commandment that we have charity, but that we have it out of a pure heart. And let's go back to 1 Timothy 1:5, and out of a good conscience. Now we know that in the last days, men's conscience will be seared with a hot iron, right? We're told that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. God wants our faith to be held in a good conscience. Look down in verse 19 here in 1 Timothy. "Holding faith and a good conscience." Having charity of a good conscience. In other words, our conscience is clear. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereof they speak evil of you and so forth. So if our conscience is, which is a gift from God, amen, the conscience, it's one of the things that makes us unique as God's creation, is this thing called a conscience, an innate understanding of right and wrong. Now, it can be seared, it can be swerved, it can be destroyed and so forth, but we have it. We've all born with it. It's one of the things that leads us to know that we need a God, that we need a Savior. Because our conscience, when we reach a certain age, starts convicting us when we do wrong. The animals aren't like that. The animals just go on instinct, don't they? But we have a conscience. And we know that because when you discover tribes that have never heard about God, never seen a Bible, they all have a set of rules. Now, they might be skewed, but they all have a set of rules. They all have a belief in something bigger than themselves. And they all have a set of morals, if you will, of right and wrong. Now, again, it might be skewed a bit, but where did that come from? It came from their conscience. God says we need to have charity not only out of a pure heart, but out of a good conscience. As it says there in verse 19, having faith in a good conscience. If you look at Titus 1:15, God says that our conscience can be defiled. And a defiled conscience cannot show charity biblically. Titus 1:15. It says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." So back to our passage, God wants our charity, which is the end of the commandment. It's the sum of all, in other words, above all things. He says that in the scripture. Not only should we have charity, but we should have it out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience. And lastly, faith unfeigned. Unfeigned means undisguised. It means sincere. It means not fake. Timothy was an example of this kind of faith. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, we'll see this. Paul holding Timothy up as an example. He says, 2 Timothy 1, 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." So he's talking directly to Timothy, and he says, when I call to remembrance your faith is real. Your faith is unfeigned. It's not fake. In other words, sincerity. And so what God is saying is that all three of these things must be in place for biblical charity to properly work through us. A pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. That's a pretty high calling. But this is what God is saying. It's the end of the commandment. It's above all things that we have charity. Jesus said, right, in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." In 1 John 3:14, if you turn there, God says that if we don't show love, that we are abiding in death. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? 1 John 3:14, "We know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." And 1 John 4:20, "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar." So the end of all things, the end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart, an undefiled conscience, and genuine, sincere, unfeigned faith. So then he takes the time to tell us what happens if that is not the case. If we aren't living charity, we have swerved, verse 6, "from which some having swerved," I like that word. I'm sure we've all used that word relating to cars, right? He swerved across the lane and hit someone else. So God is, which scripturally it means to be sidetracked. So he's saying that if we don't have biblical charity and we aren't living and showing biblical charity, we've swerved. And if we've swerved, what's that lead to? Two things. Verse 6, it leads to vain jangling. There's another interesting word. Vain jangling. What's that word jangling mean? It means random talk. It means just talking about things that don't matter. He's saying that one of the results of having this impure heart, having a conscience that's not clear, not showing charity scripturally, will be vain jangling. Another definition would be fruitless discussion. Just a lot of talk about unimportant stuff. So it affects the tongue. And Timothy and Titus were both warned about this. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:20, if we could. And we'll look at this again. But one of the warnings that Paul gave to these pastors, both of them, was to beware of people who get involved in vain jangling. So, you know, the next time somebody's talking too much, just say, "Are you jangling right now?" They'll be like, "What's jangling?" "Oh, it's what you're doing." Anyway, 1 Timothy 6:20. "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." So he's finishing this very important epistle, and look what he says. "Avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so called." Which we'll talk in depth about that science thing. And then look at Titus 1:10. And we'll see where he also warned the other pastor. Titus 1:10. "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Vain. Both of those verses use the word vain. Vain jangling. Vain babblings. Vain talkers. God says that if our heart isn't right, our faith isn't right, and we're not showing charity because of those things, what's the result? They swerve. They swerve to vain jangling. Lots of talk. And it also affects their ego. Look at verse 7 of our passage, 1 Timothy 1:7. We'll talk more about this passage next week, but desiring to be teachers. In other words, they become not only vain janglers, I doubt if that's even a word, but they also become very egotistical in thinking that now they can teach other people the Bible. That they want to be a teacher. It's an ego issue, wanting to be recognized as someone who's very knowledgeable. And this is what happens when people turn from a pure heart and a good conscience and from true faith or sincere faith. It leads to a misunderstanding and a misapplication of Scripture. And at least I found in my 35 years of ministry, people that have a misunderstanding, misapplication of Scripture can't wait to try to push it on others. Their misunderstanding and misapplication. They want to be a teacher. They want to tell others, oh, I found something new. Well, we all know there's nothing new. Titus 1:11, if you want to turn there, Titus was warned about this. He said, watch out. Titus 1:11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. For filthy lucre's sake, teaching things which they ought not. So when people swerve away from biblical charity, which can only be shown with genuine faith and a good conscience and a pure heart, they swerve to vain jangling and to wanting to be a teacher, wanting to teach others all this new stuff that they've learned on YouTube. And then Psalm 111, verse 10, let's turn there, where God makes it very clear that when we are living in disobedience, Psalm 111, verse 10, which if you're not living charity, you're living in disobedience, because God says it's above all things. God says it's the end of the commandment. So if you're not living biblical charity, you're living in disobedience, God says that it affects your ability to understand Scripture. Isn't that interesting? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look what it says. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. That do, that obey. And then Jesus said the same thing in John 7, if you want to turn there, John 7, 17. And what He's teaching, what God's teaching is, that when we're in disobedience, it affects our understanding of Scripture. You know why? Because when we're in disobedience, we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that teaches us Scripture. But He's grieved. He's quenched. So we're not able to hear Him. And so our understanding of Scripture gets skewed. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. But notice what has to come first, obedience. If any man will do his will, then he'll know. Everybody wants to know first and then do. God says, no, you do first and then you can know. Most things in Christianity are reverse of what the world does. 1 Timothy 6:4, he's proud knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. So this is what happens. Well, could have called this message swerved, but anyway. What is the end of the commandment? It's charity. Out of a pure heart, good conscience, faith unfeigned. That's the end. That's quite a bold statement. It's the end of the commandment. Some have swerved, verse 6, swerved to vain jangling and wanting to be teachers, wanting to teach others things that are not scriptural. So that's a big deal. It always seems to come back to the Word and to love, doesn't it? Jesus said, by this, if you have love one to another. It always seems to come back to that. And it does here. That's the end of the commandment. Charity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing passage, Lord, that reminds us how important charity is, how important it is that we keep our conscience clear, keep our heart pure, keep our faith sincere, that we might show charity biblically and avoid swerving out of the way. Lord, I pray that we would take this to heart.